Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into this edition of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Golden. We got a lot to get to today. We have some stuff concerning Brent Seabrook, the Blackhawks making a couple front office and hockey operations staffs switch-ups. We have a little bit of news about the NHL and some tentative dates that have just been set, and a little bit of talk around Dominik Kubalík and the United Center. But before I jump right into that, I want to make sure you guys know how to get in touch with the podcast or ask any listener questions. We have the Instagram at chitownhockey.pod. We have the Twitter at chitownpod. We have the Gmail account, chitownhockeypod@gmail.com. We have my personal Twitter account at jakegolden777. And we also have my Blackhawks-related Instagram page at Blackhawks Pulse, which I've got some new graphics and everything coming out right now. And I also have a new logo up there as well. So stuff will start to get a lot better on my Blackhawks account. I have also created a Twitter account if you would like to go check that out. It is at Hawks_Pulse. Again, that's at Hawks_Pulse. Make sure to go check out my Twitter account. There will be minute-to-minute updates on my new Twitter account. I will be posting a little bit more there than my Instagram because it is just words and you can get it out quickly. So I will be posting there as well, so make sure to go check that out. Now, to get into some of the news coming the other day from the NHL, we have the start date has been pushed back from the typical October 5th-ish date to December 1st, I believe. So the NHL has pushed back the start date for next year. And then the playoffs will happen up until October 2nd is the last possible Stanley Cup final game. Then after that, the NHL draft will be held on October 6th. And then free agency will be on October 9th, about then. And then training camps will begin for the 2021 regular season, November 17th. And then we'll see the start of the 2021 regular season on December 1st. And then the draft will be between the cup final and, or the end of the cup final and the free agency period. So the NHL pushing back those dates a couple months than usual. Free agency we'll see just a couple days after the end of the Stanley Cup final. So in a span of about a week or so, we're going to see a Stanley Cup be awarded. We're going to see the draft take place, and then we're also going to see free agency. So we have a good amount of stuff that's going to be happening after the playoffs. And then, of course, we have the playoffs, which will be on as usual up until October 2nd. For the round-robin and qualifying round games, the NHL, as I said last podcast, is planning to host games at 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 8 p.m. local time. Two hub cities, obviously, by now, we know, are going to be Toronto and Edmonton. And then, so hockey basically will be on all day. All day there will be hockey on because of the 2-hour time difference between Edmonton and Toronto. So all day there will be hockey on for all of us. So if you've been missing hockey, it's a great time to be a hockey fan because hockey on all day, every day. And then the NHL did say that they are going to have a one-day break in between games in the qualifying and round robins, but there will be at least one back-to-back in the qualifying round. So everything else will have a one-day break, and then there will be one back-to-back in the qualifying round for each team playing in that. But other than that, not any more news coming out on the NHL regarding times and everything. So I'll go ahead and move on to my next point, which concerns the Blackhawks, actually, a little bit of Blackhawks news. So they made multiple changes which regarded hockey ops staff, including a demotion of assistant general manager Norm McIver to VP of player personnel. So he's been demoted. They kind of changed the labels on some hockey ops staff. So many, many staff changes in the recent hours from the Blackhawks. They're really kind of the first hockey ops moves that have been made since John McDonough was released by the team in April. So it's now kind of starting to look like that, like Danny Wirtz and Rocky Wirtz, like those two are committed to like shaking up and retooling and kind of changing the organization back to what John McDonough said that Blackhawks fans deserve in his letter after he got fired, a consistent winner. So now there's still that question if we see some firings today or in the next couple of days. I personally don't believe it's going to happen. I think this might be just what they're looking to do is kind of retool and move around some people to see if they can fit elsewhere and bring in some new people. But obviously, things can change real quick. You know, there's no speculation around it right now, but we've seen things can go north, things can go south. So there is some questions regarding what's going on with the Blackhawks right now in terms of firings and hirings. I personally don't believe it's going to happen, as I just said, but things can change, and we all know that. Personally, in my opinion, these moves are mostly made to kind of retool the front office, and to kind of retool the front office before the Blackhawks hire a new president and or CEO. And or a president and hockey president of hockey operations, whatever they decide to do with the higher up, this looks like it might just be a retooling for what's going to be happening. But for the full list, you guys can head over to The Athletic. If you haven't used your 5 free articles, you will need a subscription. It's, I believe, $10 a month, and I think $120 a year or $80 a year or something. I forget what the money is, but if you haven't read any articles this month for free, you should be able to read it for free. If not, you can find them at Puck_Report2 on Instagram. Made a full list of them with a very nice graphic, so you can make sure to check that out and see who's been demoted, promoted, whatever. Now, to move on a little bit to Dominik Kubalík. So, per Scott Powers, a Blackhawks writer, the target range for a Dominik Kubalík extension would be kind of a 4-year deal worth about $5 million. I personally believe we should give him, I think the four, you know, this can either go one or two ways, because obviously Boqvist and Doc are going to need new contracts in 2 years, and then if Mitchell and Beaudin come in and burn their ELCs, they're going to need one in three. So you have to be careful when you give him a contract, because he's looking like he can become a superstar player. Now, it's up to Stan Bowman whether or not he wants to take the risk of signing him to that 4-year deal worth that kind of money, or he can sign him to a kind of bridge deal worth maybe $1 million or $2 million, and it's kind of a do-it-again deal. You know, he can see if Dominik Kubalík can do it again and perform at that rate. Then he can give him an extension, which might be the better option to do. Because if it's going to be a 4-year deal or a longer-term deal, that's going to be, if it's 4 years, it's going to be 3 years after Adam Boqvist and Kirby Dach get those extensions. So there is a chance they'll be traded. There's a chance they'll get injured. You know, there's a chance for them to no longer be with the team and have their cap off the books. So if you do that, then you can worry about his money after you sign those guys that are going to be a long-term piece of the Blackhawks. After you re-sign Ian Mitchell, if he's still here, Nick Beaudin, Kirby Dach, Adam Boqvist, those guys with ELCs that were signed for this year and ELCs that are going to be signed for next year, like Ian Mitchell and Evan Barrett and Nick Beaudin, all those guys, they're going to need those new contracts in either 2 or 3 years. So if you sign them to longer-term deals, then if you have the money to re-sign Kubalik to a 4 or 5 year deal worth that amount of money he deserves, you can manage that cap space. But if you re-sign him now and give him a 4 year deal, you're going to need to re-sign him right after you give new contracts to all these guys who are burning off their entry-level deals. So it's up to Stan Bowman what he wants to do with Kubalik, and basically kind of choose how he wants the Blackhawks' future to run, because you don't know. You really don't know how a player is going to perform regardless of the season they had. Unless they can do it consistently over a good number of years, you really don't know if they're going to have a down year, if they're going to play great the next couple of years. There's uncertainty around every single thing in this world. There really is, and that includes hockey players. So Stan Bowman needs to judge whether or not he wants to deal with the money now and is going to have to worry about another contract in 4 years, 1 year after he gives all this money to all these guys who are burning off their entry-level deals, or if he wants to give him a bridge deal worth maybe about $2 million for maybe 2 years, and that expires when all the guys with ELCs, their contract expires, and then he can re-sign him then, and then he can choose whether or not, or which guys to sign after their ELCs expired. So he can deal with the money now, and then have to worry about it in 4 years after everyone's contract is signed who had that ELC, or he can wait, or he can sign him to a bridge deal and then wait until they're signed after they burn off their ELC, or after their ELCs are burned off, and then sign Kubalik to the amount of money he deserves if he has the cap space. There's two ways Stan Bowman can do it. So if he chooses the latter option, he can lock him down for longer, because he's not going to sign him to a 7 year deal, to make sure that he doesn't have to re-sign him in 7 more years. So if he signs him in 2 and he signs him to a 4, then he obviously has more longevity in that contract and doesn't have to worry about the money and the guys burning off their ELCs and all that stuff. And then moving on to Dylan Strome a little bit, the target range for Dylan Strome extension would be about 3 years to $2 to $3 million. So Dylan Strome really kind of burned his bridge this year, not producing as much. He was last year, if he could have kept that up, he was looking at probably around $5 to $6 million this year. Luckily for the Blackhawks, a cap strapped Blackhawks team, that he didn't live up to that. So money looking like $2 to $3 million and looking for about 3 years. So it'll be kind of when those ELCs expire for those guys. There's going to be, once these ELCs expire, and then say he does sign Kubalik for 4 years and signs Strome for 3 years, there's that range, that 1 to 2 year range, where he's going to have to sign a lot of contracts for these guys with ELCs expiring, and then guys like Kubalik and Strome who have contracts worth about 3 or 4 years expiring. So there's going to be that time period where there's going to have to be a lot of signings, and Stan Bowman's going to have to decide who he wants to keep and who he wants to let go. That's why it'd be better to just deal with it in a couple years and sign Dylan Strome to a two-three-year deal actually is good. Dominic Kubalik, maybe bring him down to a 2 to 3 year deal and then deal with it then. All right, thank you for listening to the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I will be back with you all in 60 seconds or less. Welcome back to the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Golden. Make sure to ask any listener questions or to get in contact with the podcast. You know all the contact options. We have the Instagram at ChiTownHockey.pod, the Twitter at ChiTownPod. We have the Gmail account at ChiTownHockeyPod@gmail.com. We have my personal Twitter account at JGolden777. We have my Blackhawks-related Instagram account at BlackhawksPulse, so make sure to follow that. New graphics, new logo just came out today, so make sure to check that out. And then, of course, we also have my new Made Today Twitter page, Blackhawks-related, NHL-related, at Hawks_Pulse. So make sure to go follow all those and make sure to shoot me a question or contact me on any of those, and I'll make sure to answer your questions on the podcast. Now, moving on to some United Center news. The Athletic and the NHL staff did a ranking the other day of the best arenas in the NHL, the 32 arenas in the NHL. New York, the Islanders, of course, have two. They have Barclays and Nassau, even though Nassau closed down. So the Athletic ranked the United Center the 15th best arena in the NHL. Personally, I do not agree with this. They called the arena old. They said it was too big. They did say it has a good atmosphere. The location isn't great. It should be in the city center. All these things I called out on my Instagram page, and I'll go ahead and do the same here. First, the arena is not getting old. The arena's been open for just over 25 years. The arena's hosted Blackhawks hockey for just over 25 years. The Blackhawks were in the Chicago Stadium for over 70 years before finally building the United Center in 1994, I believe it was. So you can't move to a new arena every 25 to 30 years. No team can. That's just not in the budget. You look at Detroit. Detroit was at the Joe Louis for so long, okay? Other teams have been at their arenas for a pretty long time. You don't see every season or every couple of seasons a certain NHL franchise moving to a new arena. You don't. We didn't see any this year. A couple years ago, we saw the Red Wings move to the Little Caesars. The Islanders, like 5-6 years ago, I think, moved to Barclays. Now they're still using Nassau, but now that Nassau's shut down because of the coronavirus, they're starting to build that new arena, so they're going to end up switching to that. But other than that, there's really... And then, of course, Seattle's going to be moving into theirs, but that's an expansion franchise, so it doesn't really count. But you don't see NHL teams, or any of the 31 teams in the NHL, switching arenas that often. You don't see the Blackhawks move now, and then 2 years from now you see the Red Wings move, and then 3 years from then you see the Dallas Stars move, and then 1 year from then you see the Golden Knights. That's just not how it works in the NHL. That's not how it works in any sport. You don't move to a new arena every 25, 30 years. You just don't. The NHL, the NFL, the NBA, the whatever the hell it is, they don't make their teams, or they don't have teams, moving to new arenas every couple of years. That's just not how it works. That's not in the budget for any team to move to a new arena every 20 to 30 years. That's just not how it works. The fact that the NHL, or the fact that the United Center is too big, that's an absolutely ridiculous statement. Yes, the United Center is the biggest stadium in the NHL. And in the NBA. But you know it is, so you kind of have to expect it. And then more fans means a better atmosphere for the Blackhawks, one. And then you have more revenue. And for the Blackhawks, in the NHL, a National Hockey League and NHL that's already dependent on fan-related revenue, you want arenas to be big. You want to be able to fit 22,000 fans into a building. You want that. Because the NHL is already dependent on fan-related revenue. You look at the NFL, they can stack 60,000 fans into, what's it called? Lombardi. You can fit 50,000, 60,000 fans into Soldier Field, which is where the Bears play, for people who don't know, but I'm sure you do, because you're listening to a Blackhawks podcast. Like, you look at AT&T Stadium, AT&T, I think it is, in Dallas. That thing's big as hell. They can fit over 40,000 to 60,000 fans in there. And then, on top of that, they have absolutely ridiculous TV deals. You have NBC, ESPN, NFL Network, you're on, I think, TNT, Fox Sports, and then, of course, all the regionals. Crazy how many TV deals the NFL has. The NBA, same thing, just not as big arena-wise. The TV deals are crazy. ESPN, TNT, NBC, the regionals. There's probably, Fox Sports too. And there's probably more. So, these other leagues are dependent on that. That's where they can get their money. Fans, then that feeds in some more. The NHL has a TV deal with NBC. And NBC only. There's no Fox deal. There's no TNT deal. There's no ESPN deal. All it is NBC. And NBCSN, not every day, is hosting an NHL game. That's not how it works. Every day, there is an NBA game or NFL game on TV for free, on whether it be TNT, Fox, NBC, whatever. ESPN, it's on. Every single day there's one on. That's not the case in the NHL. They are fan dependent. They're not TV deal dependent like every single other league in the world. The NHL is solely a fan dependent league. And in America, where hockey is not popular, if it was in Canada, if the league was based in there, say there's what, I think 26 NHL teams in the United States, and then there's, I think, 5 in Canada. If I'm wrong, please let me know. Contact me on any of those contact options. But that's what I believe. So there's only a couple teams in Canada, and the league is mainly based in America. Or in the United States of America, I should say. Because some people might take that wrong and think all of North and South America. The United States is not known for hockey. When you think of the United States of America, you think of football and you think of basketball. When you think of Europe, you think of soccer and rugby. When you think of Canada, you think of hockey. The league is not based in Canada. The league is based in America, or in the United States of America, with 26 NHL teams in the United States. So, if the league was in Canada, of course, there's probably a million TV deals they could get there because that is a hockey-based country. More hockey players come from Canada than anywhere else in the world. So, but being based in America, ESPN, TNT, Fox, they kind of see it as a risk to take a TV deal with the NHL. Because they are not as big as the other major sports. The NHL is a top five, or hockey and the NHL, hockey slash the NHL is one of the four main team sports. However, it's not always recognized as that, and some people don't even realize it's one of the four. They just think there's three. So, had the league been mainly based in Canada, and had 26 teams in Canada, then that's a different story. And because you got all the TV deals with Canada. We have a TV deal with Sportsnet to host Canadian games. But there's no other TV deal than NBC in the United States. There's just not. Because some networks think it's a risk because the NHL isn't as big as some of these other leagues. Take the NFL, for example. The new Patrick Mahomes contract, worth $503 million, is worth more than 8 NHL teams, I believe is what I saw. That is absolutely ridiculous. $503 million this man is making, worth more than 8 other NHL franchises. That is insanity. So, the NHL doesn't have the kind of money that the other leagues do. We are dependent on fans filling the buildings in America, and even in Canada where there's 5 teams, but in the United States mainly is where the league is based, 26 teams here. We are dependent on fans filling the stands because of the fact that we don't have the TV deals hosting games every single day like the NFL and the NBA. And then, of course, since the NFL and NBA are bigger, the two biggest leagues in America, the advertisements that are on those broadcasts cost a lot more money So the networks make some money, and then the advertisements, that makes money for the league also. So it's a win-win either way for the network and the league. But like I said, networks think of hockey as a risk because there's not a lot of hockey fans in America. But, I mean, you see, when the Blackhawks got good, the United Center was filled at maximum capacity, over 22,000 fans. When the Bulls were good in 2013, when they made the conference finals, I think, against the Miami Heat, the United Center was filled, 23,000 fans. I think, which is max capacity at the United Center for NBA basketball, including floor seats, standing room, all that stuff, filled to max capacity. So, you know what I'm talking about. It's not that people don't like hockey. If their team gets good, then it's a different story. You look at Ottawa, worst capacity in the league. Average attendance is 7,000 people a game. That's pretty sad. And then on top of that, Ottawa is not a good team. They were good, and they had a lot more people than 7,000 coming to their game. But now, they're one of I think they're the third worst team in the league. Why are you going to pay all that money and then have to worry about traveling to the arena, staying there late at night if it's a late-night game, and then you got to travel back home, or if you're from far away, then you got to fly and stay at a hotel and fly back? Why would you spend all that money to go watch your team lose? So yeah, duh, it's at 7,500 people coming to a game. Probably people with no life, and they're just looking for something to do. So they're spending money on a ticket to watch their team lose most of the time. Over half the time is what the record shows. Probably over 65% of the time they're going to watch the Ottawa Senators lose. People aren't going to spend money to go watch their team lose. That's not how it works. Blackhawks fans have been incredibly loyal and have stayed and have packed the United Center. Even after 2017 when the Blackhawks weren't as good. Obviously, now we're kind of an average team. We're over the 500 mark, but we're still kind of that average team. And Blackhawks fans have been loyal, filling that United Center. But eventually, if this keeps going on, then you know what? The United Center isn't going to be packed. The United Center isn't going to have 22,000 fans in it for a Blackhawks game. If the Blackhawks start sucking. Because that's not how it works. The same damn thing's gonna happen in the NBA or the NFL if their team sucks. I don't know what the Miami Dolphins capacity is or how many people go to their games. I don't know what the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know what their capacity percentage is, but I'm sure it's not good. Because what the Bengals go, what, like 1-11? Or not 1, what an idiot. There's 16 games a year. They went, I'm pretty sure they won one game. And it was against the Dolphins, I think. It was 1-15. The record was 1-15 this year, I believe. And they actually won against the Dolphins, which actually were sucking. Also, they actually got a little bit better towards the end of the year and got a couple wins. But the Browns sucked all year. Won one game against the Dolphins. So, their capacity isn't going to be that great because people don't want to see their team lose every single game. Except for that one game a year where they might get lucky and win. And it wasn't by that great of a margin either. They're playing the Dolphins, which also suck. So, why would people spend the money to go watch their team just lose and go through the hassle to watch their team lose and just be disappointed? There's no logic in that. So yes, you're going to see people falling out of the arena, or falling out of games. You're going to see it, because no one wants to see their team lose. It's the nature of the human body, the human people, the human brain. It's how it works. People aren't going to spend money to watch their team lose and be disappointed. There's a lot of hassle that goes into just going to a game. especially if you're from far away and you're flying in or you're driving hours to see your team, there's a lot of freaking hassle that goes into that and a lot of money outside just the seats. Whether they're $10, $15, $62, whatever the seats cost, that one trip most likely is costing $5,000 just to go to that game, even if the seats are $62. And it's just to watch their team lose. It's not worth it. It really just isn't. Now, moving on to why it's a problem that the United Center isn't located in the city. Are you stupid? That's a legitimate question. Are you stupid? Seriously. Because if the United Center were to be located in the city, the Blackhawks are bringing 22,000 fans into their game at night. Games typically start 6 to 8 p.m. Central Time. So that's rush hour in Chicago. 8 p.m., like when I was younger, my dad was coming home from work at 8 p.m. That's rush hour, 6 to 8. Rush hour in Chicago, it's more 5 to 8. But the game, 6 to 8, like, there's so many fans going into the city on highways, the Amtrak, the Metra, the L. And then you have people coming out of the city into the suburbs on, guess what? The highway, the Amtrak, the Metra, the L. All these stations are going to be crowded. The highway is going to be crowded. Chicago is the third largest city in the country. There are plenty of jobs there. Look at the Willis Tower, the Hancock Building, and just the Trump Tower combined. There's probably over 1 million jobs in just those three buildings. Okay? So you have millions of people rushing out of the city on the same transportation ways that people are coming into the city. 22,000 people into the city. Okay? So this is just going to clog up traffic even more. Chicago is one of the worst in terms of traffic. Okay? Chicago and Atlanta, the two worst cities when it comes to traffic. It's absolutely ridiculous how crazy the traffic is in Chicago. Okay? So you have 22,000 people rushing into the city to go to a game. And they're probably going to eat somewhere first, you know? Like, I've gone to a game. When I went to a Bulls game, I went out and I ate at Lumonati's inside the city. I've eaten at Portillo's before going to a game. Like, so the restaurants and stuff that they're going to in the city, then there's parking there. Well, that's going to be a whole crap show because people are leaving them parking and then all this crap. Waiting for people to back out, waiting for people to go in their spot so they can go down the road. That's going to be an issue. And then some people have to pay for parking, which they aren't going to be happy about. So that's going to be an issue, is parking in the city for both the United Center and for restaurants or gift shops or wherever the hell people are going before the game. I didn't even get to that part yet. If the United Center were in the city, you have people rushing in, people rushing out. Already got to that. If the United Center were in the city, where the hell do you park? You need a damn parking lot. And where would that be? People aren't going to park in the Sears Tower. I don't think it's a Carvana elevator machine. I don't think that's how that works. So where are people supposed to park if it's in the middle of the city? Quick answer. Nowhere. Streets are going to be ridiculously crowded. People are going to have to walk double digits worth of miles away to get to the United Center or to get to whatever the hell the building is going to be called that's inside the city. Okay? That's just stupid logic. That's stupid architectural and geographic and topographic thinking. All three of those things. It's stupid. It is stupid thinking. Absolutely dumb. Okay? Then the United Center, it's on West Madison Street. There are thousands of shops and restaurants there. It's got a city view right there. There are thousands of shops and restaurants. Plenty of places to eat. And there's parking. Parking for over 30,000 people. So that's not an issue. there's also a city view right there. You can see the city from the UC. So you can see the city of Chicago. You can see all the buildings from the United Center. So that's not an issue, is having the city there. So I don't understand what the problem is, because, you know, I've made the drive from the city center of Chicago to the United Center twice in 1 week during rush hour for the Bulls when they were good, racking in 23,000 fans, and then for the Blackhawks when they were good, racking in 23,000 fans. During rush hour, I've made the drive. It is not that bad, trust me. It is not that long. Trust me on that, too. So, this narrative that it needs to be inside the city center to be closer to whatever the hell they want it to be closer to is absolutely... I'm not gonna... BS is what we'll call it. BS. This is absolutely BS, because you have the stuff you need right there. Restaurants, shops, parking. You have a city view. I don't understand what the issue is. And the drive down to the city, it's probably about 15, 20 minutes. When there's no traffic, it's probably 10. It's not that bad. It's right there. Arenas don't need to be inside of the city. In fact, it's better if it's outside like the United Center is by just a couple of minutes, because there's more space for everybody. Whether it be parking, people, shops, restaurants, there's more space for all of it. So, an arena doesn't need to be inside the city, and that's just a stupid narrative. But that rant, or whatever you want to call it, that explanation is over. But that's pretty much going to wrap up this episode of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast, so I appreciate you guys all listening. I want to make sure, before I go one more time, you know how to get in touch with the podcast or ask any questions. Make sure to check out the Instagram at chitownhockey.pod. We have the Twitter at chitownpod. We have the Gmail account, chitownhockeypod@gmail.com. We have my personal Twitter account at jakegolden777. We have my Blackhawks Reddit Instagram account at blackhawks.pulse. New logo, new graphics, all that stuff just came out today, so make sure to check it out. Then we also have my Twitter account, Blackhawks Reddit Twitter account I just made today, so make sure to give it a follow, make sure to support it, comment, like, whatever you're supposed to do on there. I don't even know anymore. I run too many things. @hawks_pulse. So make sure to check that out. @hawks_pulse. Is my new Twitter account, so make sure to check it out. I do appreciate you listening, as always. New podcast, like always, will be dropped on Tuesday at 5 Central. Once hockey starts back up, it will be every single weekday I will be doing a podcast. I'll try to get that out. Hopefully it won't be too bad, but I'll try to do that for you guys and see how it goes. That'll obviously be an experiment. So, yeah. Once again, thank you guys so much for listening to this edition of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Golden. Again, new podcast will be dropped on Tuesday at 5, so I hope you guys can listen to that one. Other than that, thank you for listening to this edition, and I hope you have a great rest of your Friday.